Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today on the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about direct-to-consumer success. You know, with all that's gone on over the last 18 months, almost every company, brand, retailer, whatever it happens to be, has transitioned a lot of their business over to direct-to-consumer. And many have been successful, but also at the same time, many have been confused or not really knowing how to build direct-to-consumer business or finding ways that they could do it cheaper, less expensive, not understanding the metrics. So it is a completely different model of how you build your business. What goes into the metrics now that they're tangible? How do you measure success? How do you grow your business? All of these questions are new to brands that really haven't dedicated a lot of time to direct-to-consumer prior to the pandemic. So I thought it would be an opportune time to talk about how you thrive in this environment, this direct-to-consumer business. And truly, the ones when I look at it, and the brands, again, that I've been with or that I work with through Liquid Mind, ones that are truly a brand find out very quickly that their direct-to-consumer business and strategy is a lot easier. And direct-to-consumer is difficult, but what you'll find is that if you are a brand, truly a brand, where it's embraced by your community and you're got a value proposition beyond product and you're at a premium level, you'll find that the direct-to-consumer business will allow you to be more successful. You look at brands like Nike, where they've gone from literally 5% of their business on D2C up to 30, 35%, and they would love it to be 80%. There's a lot of reasons for that. One is that they can control the messaging. Number two, they can control the value. Number three, they can control price points, and they're a heck of a lot more profitable. And that goes with any brand you'll see out there, big or small. And I say that because many people feel like, well, I'm not a big brand. I can't go to direct to consumer. How do I get my message through all of these big brands in my particular category? Well, welcome to D2C, because D2C makes it a lot easier for you. You can control the messaging. There's been many small brands in the marketplace, and I'll use apparel and footwear as an example on the CPG side, is that you'll see brands like Allbirds, footwear brands like Brooks, Saucony, Hoka One One. These were all brands that, not to say they weren't doing a great job before the pandemic, but I can tell you right now, because they were a brand pre-pandemic, that their D2C business is off the charts. And so when you look at the first piece of this puzzle, you know, and I get many times questions from owners of brands, presidents of companies, where they'll come to me and say, well, how do I start this D2C business? Now, this goes for bigger brands, it goes back to the start of the pandemic when there was this rush to get online, but everybody had the same question. And there's a strategy around this, yes, but there's also a baselining around, are you prepared to transition to the D2C business? And if so, how do you go about that? And the first thing that I always do is I define if they're a brand or if they're not a brand. And the reason I start from there is because if you're devising a strategy for D2C business, it's going to be a whole lot more expensive if you're not a brand. And that's where you do have to cut through the weeds. You have to make larger investments. You have to get your name out there. So if you are a brand pre-pandemic, you have a lot more control over your destiny. And the brands that were brands before the pandemic also are ones that really don't need retailers for the most part. And what's really great about what they've established, and the pandemic forced many of these brands to have to think about a clear D2C strategy. Many times it was just an afterthought because they didn't want to disrupt their current distribution chains, which were international as well as retail distribution. But now, by design, they've found an opportunity to go after the D2C business in conjunction with their retailers. So many times you'll find very similar to what happened back in the day when Apple disrupted the music industry, is they decided to go to direct, and they worked directly with the music industry major players, similar to what the D2C CPG brands are doing now. They're working with the retailers like the Dick's of the world to have it be successful on both sides. So Apple kind of had that back in the day when they invented the iPod. They completely transitioned the music industry. And that's what you're seeing with the retail distribution industry as well, is that consumers are now more likely to shop on e-com, and the e-com growth versus retail growth. Now, retail is still the predominant amount of revenue. I'm not saying that, but when you look at e-com and the growth over that, over the next 5-10 years, you're going to be exponential growth on e-com, and you're going to see flat growth on retail. So what I'm saying here is that when either you're a brand or you're not a brand, that's the first piece of that puzzle when you look at D2C investment and strategy around how you're going to achieve a successful D2C business. So when you're devising a strategy, many times if you're a brand, what I look at is successful D2C brands devise a strategy around the core principles that define a clear point of difference from their retail competitors. So now what I mean by that is not product so much as what is your differentiator from a distribution standpoint, and you're making my life easier as a consumer in buying your products. And then the second piece of that is obviously the products themselves. So what you're kind of building is this tier of a successful D2C business is the brand itself, the product, and also the distribution to your consumer, making all of that very easy for them. And going back to these brands controlling their own destiny, if you can imagine, I'll give you a great example of, let's just say it's Nike, for instance, because everybody kind of knows obviously who Nike is and Nike's culture and their principle, their products, whatever it happens to be. But I can tell you the thing that Nike loves about the D2C business as well as other CPG brands is they know their community. Okay. They know because they position their brand a certain way with a certain demographic, and they have aspirational products. They have an aspirational lifestyle. They inspire people. And what is the best way to do that? It's to do it through their website and communications through social media. So they've got Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it happens to be. They've got all of these platforms to talk about their brand, guess what? Directly to their community, which they didn't have before inside of retail. Retail is a dead space, static point of purchase, and you're not able to engage with your consumer. Now, what a beautiful strategy around D2C, right? So, but where it benefits the retailers and where this commonality between the two and where they've been able to bridge this partnership from retail distribution to D2C and where it doesn't disrupt as much as the retailer would have thought is that they continue to build brand equity on D2C. And as a result, the retailer doesn't have to make investments in marketing. So not that they don't continue to do it in store, but all the assets, everything you have from a brand perspective is given to the retailer through the investment the brand's already made. So what's great is that partnership and locking in with the retailer and making sure that they have what they need to succeed, in addition to you needing it anyway in order for you to build your D2C business. So the first point again is when I look at whether you're a brand or not a brand, it's really kind of a money quotient, okay? So either you are, you're gonna spend less money, or you aren't, the first thing you can do is establish yourself as a brand. Now, if you don't want to be a brand and you just want to be commodity, then you're just fighting on price point. So it really becomes a margin play there. So the next piece of this and what I talk about with the D2C business is it's a very tech-heavy market. That if a brand, they want to establish long-term growth, they must define and implement quickly a short-term success strategy. So successfully defining first who they are, you know, what they are offering, how they're different from the current status quo in the industry, and building a community who will stay loyal to them. Okay. So that's a lot there, but I'm just getting at to the point is that, so in the current environment that you're in with retail, people have to get in their car, drive to the store, have somebody helping them, select through the racks, sizing's available, it's not available. So when you look at having this omnichannel strategy that these brands have on their B2C businesses, going through the full experience of what your consumer goes through is key to success on D2C. finding your little point of difference. And it could be a point of difference on shipping. It could be a point of difference on product availability. It could be on colors, whatever it happens to be. But to find a point of difference that makes your consumer's life easier. Okay, so they've got a lot of things to do. Give them time during the day. So you look on brands' websites. Either they're easy to shop on or they're not easy to shop on. Okay, that's a big piece of this puzzle. When you look at design, aesthetics, marketing, brands do a great job of that online. There are some, because of the number of products that they have no choice but to be a little bit more ingrained in how they're laying out their website. But overall, the landing page, how they build loyalty with their community, how they provide value beyond product, are second to none. And they control their own destiny with that. So when you look at this, first, you need to make sure that you're defining that point of difference. Are you a brand? Are you not a brand? Figure out who you are. You know, how are you going to be different? And how are you going to be different from what currently is available in the marketplace today and how people purchase? Go through that entire omni-channel strategy and how people purchase. So when you look at this, you're building something that you want to sustain your community so you can build loyalty. And there are two pieces of this puzzle that everybody's probably familiar with on D2C business is customer acquisition cost, CAC, and also the long-term value. And when you look at determining your CAC and normalizing the LTV, you want to make sure that you're providing that value that people come back for again and again. And that could be through promotions, it could be through product, it could be through pricing, whatever it happens to be, the three P's. So when you look at this, defining what that looks like and also understanding the metrics behind your investments on D2C is key as well. So when you look at this, the issue with many D2C models that I've seen is they consider the tangible but forget about the intangibles. The tangibles being product, attrition, price points. When you look at the intangible side of it, where they seem to forget many times, is loyalty, community, engagement. All of these things are in combination with tangible, again, being attrition rates, price point compression, competitive rivals. But you can't forget about your intangibles on the D2C side. How do you build loyalty? How do you engage with your consumers? How do you build a community? So then in order to succeed, I kind of put together 5 points here. And again, there's many more, but I like to kind of do top five and things that working with brands that I've seen successful for building a D2C business. So the first is what I call product innovation. And I'm a huge believer, as you know, in product innovation. So one that's driven by value creation. So there's one thing you look at on product innovation, which is, you know, not only migrating, but going beyond migration to incremental improvements beyond that. So incrementalism is the death of product. So you want to make sure that you're truly innovating on your product, but also keep in mind the value creation side of it. So if you've got a product, how are you going to improve it to provide value to your community or your customer? So build a product portfolio around the needs and wants of your community. That's a big piece of that. So that gives you a defined point of difference from a product standpoint, and you can talk about it online. And the next piece, and the second one is master your core business. And I talked to many brands about this because inevitably what comes up on the strategy board is, hey, we're a footwear company, but we would like to do bedding. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not part of your core competency. So, you know, hey, manage your core business first successfully online. And then if you see an opportunity in the future, only go after categories that are outside of your core competency once you've mastered your core business. So before moving into others, master your product line first. You know, don't be this jack of all trades, master of none strategy. And that's really what that is involved. The third piece then is to continue to provide value beyond product. Kind of an offshoot of number one. And, you know, there's this product innovation platform I talk about all the time, this pipeline, which allows you to put product on the front end with early adopters all the way through late adopters and making sure that you got incremental improvements and drawdowns to your breakaway products. So, but the third piece is, you know, continue to provide value beyond product. So product is present, value is the future. So when you create value to support your community and loyalty, it's built off of this long-term value. So going back to these numbers again is customer acquisition cost. So the more loyalty you can build into your customer on D2C business, the more valuable or LTV they will have for your company and reduced customer acquisition cost as a result. So these are things that you look at from a strategic standpoint as well. And the fourth is building this, what I call loyalty loop. So before in marketing, as you're probably familiar with, you used to be able to spit customers out in the back end. They purchase, you move on to the next customer and you go through the decision tree. But now you need to make sure that you're engaging with them beyond purchase. So it's called this loyalty loop. So how did you like the product? What can we do for you better? You're now have their email address so you can send them articles on how to run better running technique if you're selling running shoes. So these are things that you want to build your loyalty loop on, and clearly understanding the customer journey with your brand from decision to post-purchase and beyond. Okay, so that's the fourth piece. And the fifth piece is create a relationship. You know, don't always look for them to purchase product from you. You know, this loyalty goes both ways. So your fifth piece is just creating a relationship with your customer. Now, this is where some brands have done a really unbelievable job, okay? When they go to, let's say a customer buys a run shoe from you, as an example, being we've already talked about it, and you know that inevitably they're probably going to be a trail runner, maybe they're a road runner, whatever it happens to be, you want to have a product that proactively shows them what it can do to make them a better runner, possibly sending them information on how better running techniques, or maybe a product. If you've got apparel, then you want shorts or other compression product potentially that they could use, but you're kind of creating this relationship. You're understanding the customer and what they need. So if they purchase something from you before, then don't bombard them with stuff that you feel that they don't need. You know, why give a mountain biker running techniques? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So you're not building value, nor are you creating a relationship. If it's a mountain biker, give them out biking information. If it's a runner, give them running information. So create the relationship. You know, proactively understand the needs of your customers. Create exclusive content, products, and promotions. This, what I call this stickiness of customer loyalty and value. So kind of in conclusion with this D2C, it's a lot of stuff I talked about here in a very short period of time, and you know, this D2C success. And again, I kind of go back to step one again. I had so many brands because it is so important to their future. And I want to take time here to kind of recap a little bit of what I'm talking about, but it's so important to them to be able to successfully build this D2C business. You know, so they come and say, well, how do I build it? Well, why I wanted to put this in the podcast was because many people, 8, 9 times out of 10, go, hey, give me a product that is a better running shoe, or give me a product that's at a better price than what they're currently selling it. Well, you know, one's premium, the other is commodity. So there's a lot of pieces of these puzzle. It's culture, it's brand itself, it's community, it's loyalty, it's customer acquisition. All of these things are pieces of the puzzle. So again, kind of recapping these top five that I looked at when we're working with brands, you know, product innovation is one, you know, driven by a value creation opportunity for your consumer. You know, number two being master your core business first. Don't be a jack of all trades, master of none, making sure that you do what you do best and making sure it fits with the culture of your company, with your brand. And then you can move into other categories potentially, but it just in the beginning creates too much confusion and it moves you outside your comfort zone. Number three is continue to provide value beyond product. And I keep using value because when you look at D2C business, what is that one intangible that becomes tangible with your consumer that continues to bring them back and increases long-term value? It's value itself. So provide value to your customers beyond product and build the loyalty loop, making sure that you're continuing to engage them post-purchase. Did you like your product? Is there anything we do for you better? Is there, hey, here's a product recommendation based off of your needs, not my needs, but your needs. And number five is creating the relationship with your customer. Understand your customer, call them by their first name, you know, proactively reach out to them, ask them how the shoes are working out for them. Is there any issues? If there is, please let us know. Whatever it happens to be, it goes beyond customer relationship and it's kind of a personal relationship. So make sure that you've got that in place as well on your D2C business. So again, the key to D2C business is understanding who you are, you know, what you do, understanding what your objectives are and what the expectations are. You know, it's not an easy business. It's a very difficult business and it's expensive. So make sure you understand the metrics behind the business, the investment you have to make in order to succeed, and also be patient with the timing. You know, building, growing, and sustaining your D2C business will provide brand equity. And that's what I talk about with brands is, you know, that's the best way to build brand equity is through D2C. And guess what? You're not investing in the retailer. You're investing in yourself, which is great on D2C business, and your margins are better and your contribution's better. And as a result, your cash flow is better. So what we talk about is this transitional retail, find a way to succeed, and you'll be on this path of success with D2C. So make sure that you understand the pieces of the puzzle in order to succeed, who you are, what you do, and what your point of difference is at D2C, and how you're going to apply that value to the customer long term. And you will succeed. Be patient. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsite.com, LiquidMind, site.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.